You may be seated. I invite all the children to come up at this time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm not Mother Ronnie. You knew that, didn't you? I'm Father John. What's up? That's the way we should start. Let's start, those of you that were here. Hello. My name is? No, yours. You're right. That is my name. You're right. I am a child of God. What's up? Right. So today,
hello. Hi.
My name is. I'm a child of God. What's up? So today I want to tell you a story. It's a short story, but a long story. It's a long story I'm going to tell in a short time. How's that? And it's a story you know about, but it's kind of a big story, but it's a small story too. And it's a story about Jesus. You heard of him? Yeah. So here's the basic story. You know this, but I want to tell it again. And I want to begin there. And then I want to teach you a new word. So here's the story. God loved us, the people of God, so much that he sent Jesus as a person. He sent the Son of God, Jesus, as a person who came to be among us for 3 years. Now that was 2,000 years ago. Or so, but he was there and he's still with us. And that's the interesting part of the story. But he came for 3 years, and then you know this part from Good Friday. And the people, the rulers, some of the people, they were afraid of him, and they were really afraid of him, and so they killed him. They hung him on a cross. That's a kind of awful story, isn't it? They hung him on a cross.
For no reason.
Thank you. For no reason. They hung him on the cross and he died. But you know, and I know, that's at the end of the story, right? So then it says 3 days later, he was alive. And then he came and appeared to them. Now, he had died. He was alive again. We call that Easter. That day we call Easter when he's alive again. And then he showed up. And when he showed up, they got scared. Wouldn't you be scared? If you were a friend of Jesus and you thought Jesus had died and he was dead, and all of a sudden he's standing there talking to you, and you're going, what? You wouldn't be? Good. Excellent, because you're a believer. Excellent. Okay. But the point is, they were scared. And then their life started over. They knew Jesus was alive. Not only was Jesus alive, not only was he with them, but he would be with them forever. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, I want to teach you a word, and the word's up on the board. And the word is said, beloved. Ever heard that word? Beloved. And the scripture talks about us being children of God and being beloved. And I want you to hear what we read just a minute ago. See what love the Father has given us. Oh, God loves you so much. But it goes on, it says, that we should be called the children of God, and that we are. Now, if you forget everything else, remember that. Look how much God loves us. We are the beloved of God. We are the children of God, and we are the children of God now. And then it says, I'm sorry?
And forever.
And forever. Whew, we should do this together. And forever, that's exactly the right answer. And then it says this, beloved, 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 we are God's children now. So I want to look at this word, beloved. It means that we belong to God, that we are Jesus' beloved, God's beloved. But I want you also to look at that word. You know how else you could say that? Beloved. Be, you already saw that? Be, you already thought it. Be loved. Beloved is to be loved. So today's message is really simple. It's two things. First of all is to know how much God loved you. Be loved. And here I want to teach you something. This is kind of fun, I hope. I want you to make a heart with your hands.
Oh, that's easy.
And some of you know how to do that. I always get these fingers in the way. But can you make a heart? With your hands.
It's
It's okay, adults, if you want to try it out there, it's all right. People might notice, but it's all right. Okay, and then I want you to take that, and I want you to put it by your heart, okay? And then I want you to say these words. Be loved.
Be loved.
I am loved. I am the beloved. I be loved means God loves me. Would you just feel it for a minute? Be loved. Be loved. You feel it? Okay, now I'm going to show you something really cool. I want you to take this, and I want you to raise it up. And now you may have to stand up for this, but don't stand up yet. And what I want you to do is I want you to look through it. And I want you to look out in the congregation, maybe your mom or dad or family or friend. And I want you to take that heart and I want you to circle them with it. Okay? All right? Stand up and do that. And then I want you to say to that person, you don't have to say their name, but I want you to say to that person, be loved.
Be loved.
Be loved. Be loved. And the reason I want you to do that is because, okay, now come back here for a minute. Keep your heart. Let's bring it back here. The reason that's important is this word isn't just about receiving God's love. It's about giving God's love. And so our message today is this. Know you are the children of God. You are the loved children of God. Remember? Hello? I am a child of God. What's up? Remember the first part. You are loved by God. But then don't forget this next part. The world needs to hear their love too. The people around you, your family, your parents, your friends, others in the world, they need to know that they're loved. And so I want to arm you with this. Feel free, whenever you feel like it, to go like this and go, I'm loved. Be loved. And then whenever you want to, particularly if like you're, you know, somebody's mad at you or something, or your parents, you're mad at your parents, then just go like this. Be loved. Be loved. And you know what? Here's the neat thing. And I'm going to end now. But here's the neat thing.
What?
When Jesus died and rose again, when he was alive again, and he appeared to them, he changed the world. And you know how he changed the world? With love. He changed the world by saying, you are my beloved. You are loved. Be loved. And he changed the world because he said, now it's up to you and me to tell everybody else how much they are loved. So beloved, be loved. And be love to the people around you.
Can you be loved on your head?
You could be loved in your mind, on your lips, and in your heart. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to Kids Word. You just made a big heart. Okay, so now go. Go and be loved. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Set our hearts on fire that we may not only hear your message, but live it in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. So today I have a one-word sermon. Well, actually, I have a one-word title for my sermon, because if it was a one-word sermon, it'd be over, right? I have a one-word, and you're probably going to guess what that is. That one word is
beloved.
Beloved. The whole sermon today is about beloved and be love. Beloved, be love. So that word, which is a really important word in Scripture, goes all the way through Old Testament. It goes all the way into New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it's interesting. You know where that word appears? What book that appears in the most in the Old Testament? Biblical scholars. The Song of Solomon. Which we misinterpret, I think. We think it's about two lovers. We think it's a poetic, erotic, you know. I used to do a confirmation class where I had 1 hour to try to teach the kid, try to get the kids to read the Bible, to be open to the Bible, to be excited about the Bible. What I used to do is I said, you know, I'm going to do an overview, but I need to tell you something. There are two books in the Bible that are X-rated. They're adult versions, so please don't read those books. Which books? Leviticus and Solomon. They didn't hear a word I said the rest of the time. They're like, Mom calls me and says, you know what? What did you do to my son? I said, what do you mean? He says, I caught him the other night, late at night, with a flashlight reading his Bible. Can you tell me about that? So the Song of Solomon uses that beloved over and over because it's about God and God's people. It's about the church, God's people. And he's calling us the beloved. He's calling all of God's people the beloved, the ones I love so dearly. And then you go to the New Testament, and you know that there's that part in the New Testament where God calls Jesus, this is my beloved son, that Jesus is called the beloved. And then it goes on to say, we are the beloved. You know, in the New Testament, often the believers of Christ were called the beloved. The beloved. So it talks about us as the beloved. And then in the Gospel of John, it talks about, I always like this part, John is called the one who Jesus loves, or the beloved disciple. You know, what's interesting is that's only listed in John, which John wrote. That's the only place in the scripture he's called the one Jesus loves. But being John, I always like that part. You know, I'm the one that is the beloved. Did you know that? I'm the one. Guess what? So are you. So in the New Testament, Jesus is the beloved. We are the beloved. We are the beloved. And each of us is the beloved. And that is so important to our message. We are the beloved, and you and I are the beloved. Now, I want to show you something. I did this with the kids, but I want to do this with you. Because this is the whole sermon. To be beloved is to receive that love of Christ. And to be the children of God. But it also is be love. Remember this part. That we are called in this Easter season to be that love to the world. To be that love to each other. To know we're loved and to be that love. That's the simple message. Now, I want to do last week's sermon. And those of you who are here going, you know, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have had to come last Sunday. But I'm only going to do a little bit of it. Oh no, two sermons. We're going to do just a little bit of it. And the sermon last week started like this. It was a story, some of you heard it last week. It was a story of, you know, we had, when I was at Church of Our Savior, and we had a lot of services during Holy Week. We had a Saturday night Easter vigil. We had 5 services on Sunday, and the Altar Guild did all that setup. And on that Monday, that day after Easter Sunday, I walked into the sacristy, and one of the Altar Guild people were there, and they looked at me and they said, thank God Easter is over. And I went, yeah. And then I thought, what? You know, we talk like Easter is over. It's a day. And the message last week was, it's not a day, it's a way. A way of life. It's not a day, it's a way of life. And so today I want to go back and visit that for a minute. That Easter is that this Easter time, this Easter season is not even just a season. It is a way of life for us, where Jesus appears to us and where we live that out in the world. There are 4 things. Now, those of you who were last week, you can tell me these 4 things, right? Maybe not. Let me do them again. So last week's gospel was Jesus coming to the upper room. They're locked in there in fear of the Jews. And Jesus comes in and 4 things happen. And I want to look at those in terms of being loved, beloved. The first thing is he greets them. He says, peace be with you, a greeting. Actually does it twice in that gospel. And I want to start there and say that Easter and every day is having Jesus greet us in those times of our lives. Those times when we're scared, those times when we're down, those times when things are really difficult, and when times are great, and when times are busy, and when we forget about God. This message is to let God greet you where you are. Now, do you want to know how to be beloved? Let God greet you when he feels far away. Let Jesus greet you when you haven't seen him for a while. And introduce him to other people. Let God greet others. That's the be love. I remember whenever I went into a hospital room, I used to pray this. Jesus, so-and-so's in the hospital. Would you meet me there in about 20 minutes? And then before I went in that room, I'd stand there and go, okay, Jesus, you ready? Because I never wanted to go in that room without Jesus. And hopefully what I did was say, I'd like Jesus to greet you again in your illness or whatever is going on. I just want Jesus to greet you. That's the first one. The second one is he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And so this message of be love is to be sent. To be sent to proclaim the gospel, the good news to others. Not only be loved, but be that love. Be sent. The third one was, he said, it breathed on him and he received, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Spirit of God. That's the third one. And maybe that comes before being sent. I don't know. But in the gospel, it said, send and then receive the power of the Spirit. So receive it. And then the fourth one is this. He said, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whoever sins you don't forgive won't be forgiven. And I think we've misunderstood that as that means the clergy can forgive you of your sins. I don't think that's it at all. He's saying, live in that forgiveness. You want to know what love is about? Live in that forgiveness. Know you are forgiven on the cross and that it didn't end on the cross. You are forgiven every day, whatever it is you've done. But also be that forgiveness to others. Be love, particularly those people that are hard to forgive. Be that love and forgiveness to the world. Those are the four things. Now, today's gospel, I want you to look at today's gospel for a minute. By the way, here's a challenge to all of you. And some of you probably already got this under control. But if you try to study the appearances of Jesus, what's called the resurrection appearances, who did Jesus appear to from the time of his resurrection until his ascension, that 40 days and 40 nights? If you try to do it in a chronological, literal way, it'll drive you crazy. Because how many times did he appear? You know, scholars disagree with what the scripture says. How many times? They think it's about 10 times in the gospel. Paul refers to it in 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to study it, that's a great chapter to study. And it's referred to in Acts at the ascension. So who did he appear to? And the interesting thing is that it looks like he appeared to the same people or different people or the same people at the same time with different stories. So let's go to today's gospel. Today's gospel is very similar from Luke as to what we read last week from John. They're in, although it comes right at the end of the road of Emmaus, which is only in Luke. And so the road to Emmaus is about Jesus being present in their hardest times. It is Jesus greeting them, and they don't even know it. Have you ever been onto that road to Emmaus where Jesus is walking with you and you don't recognize him because life is so hard? Life is so difficult, and Jesus is tapping you on the shoulder, and you're going, don't you know about what's happened? Don't you know about these things? And Jesus goes, what things? Didn't you hear what happened to Jesus? Oh, okay. Then they go, and it says their eyes were open to the breaking of the bread. As he breaks bread with them, their eyes are open, and then they say, weren't our hearts burning on that road? And then today's gospel is right after that, and it's really interesting because it says on the same day. That said that happened on the first day. So the women were at the tomb, first day road to Emmaus, according to Luke, which would be that Sunday. And then it says they went back. There were two disciples. We don't think they were the regular ones. Then it says the 11 were gathered in Jerusalem, we think in the upper room. That was last Gospel of John as well in the upper room. Then it said the 11 gathered. Remember last week Thomas wasn't there? This week? Or this gospel, it says the 11, which would assume Thomas was there. And Jesus comes in, and it also adds this. The 11 were there and their friends. If you didn't catch that, their companions, their friends, the people they were with. So there was a group in there, and all of a sudden Jesus appears, and they're frightened, they're afraid. And Jesus does the same thing. Peace be with you. I greet you now. Beloved. Beloved. And then it goes on. I love that scenario. If you look at that story, they're like petrified. It's a ghost. Oh no, Jesus is dead. How can this be Jesus? Oh no, it's got to be a ghost. And you know what he says? Put your hands in my side. Put your fingers in the holes in my hands. Just like he did to Thomas. But in this, it's to all of them. It's to all of them. Go ahead, touch me. I'm real. And then he says, so you got anything to eat? Don't you love that? And that's not real.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm not a ghost. I proved it to you. Got anything to eat?
I'm thinking, he must not have had much at Road to Emmaus when he broke bread with him. He must not have had much to eat at that time. If, in fact, right after that, he's saying, I'm still hungry. But the point was, he was human. So human he could eat a broiled fish. Be loved, says Jesus. Now, this gospel, and I'm going to end this, but this gospel does something really different. It emphasizes something different than the others. It emphasizes proclaiming, preaching. Now go forth and proclaim the forgiveness of sins, it says in this gospel we just read. Be that proclaimer of the gospel. Be that preacher. That preacher. Do you know what? I'm called to preach. And you're saying, oh, that's good because Mother Ronnie was gone and we needed somebody. But I want to tell you, you're called to preach as well. Because that word preach is translated proclaim. And so that sin part, that be love, be loved, and be love is so important. So Jesus says to them, now go proclaim it to the world. Jesus says this to you and me, go and proclaim it to the world. Be that witness to the world. And St. Augustine says, you know, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. So preach, preach by what you do. Preach by who you are. Preach by the joy. It said they returned to the temple in great praise and joy. We need to be that too. That's the preaching. That's the proclaiming. That's what we're sent to do in this Easter season. I want to end with a story. And the story is about a third grader. This was a couple years ago at camp. And when I was over in Day Springs, Southwest Florida, and we were doing a children's camp, elementary age. And we had just done, I had just done a chapel with half of the camp, and there was another half coming. And one of the counselors came to me and said, Manuel, who is third grader, Manuel wants to talk to you. And it's really important, and he needs to do it soon. This was like the first day. And so he came up to me with a cousin and a friend that were at camp with him, so the three of them, all in third grade. And he says to me, Father John, I came to camp to pray. Would you pray with me? I said, oh, this is pretty cool. Most people come for the volleyball, you know, whatever. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. And then he says to me, my cousin Lily drowned a few weeks ago. We were in Orlando at the water park there. And he said, our whole family was there. We were having a great time. And all of a sudden, we heard over the loudspeaker that you couldn't go here or go there because the ambulance was coming in and somebody was drowning. And then we realized it was Lily, my cousin, who was five. And he said, they revived her and brought her to the hospital, but she was unconscious. She wasn't awake for several weeks. And he said, and then when she woke up, she couldn't move and she couldn't speak. And this now was a few months after this had happened. And he said, and she's starting to be able to walk a little bit now, but she can't speak. And her eyes are open and she recognizes people. And he says to me with this smile on his face, I came to camp because I believe that Jesus can heal people. And I've come to pray for the weak so that Lily will be healed while we are here. And I'm like, you know, we don't have time right now. We got to go to the next activity. No, I'm like, is that not proclaiming the gospel? Is that not being loved and believing in that love of God, but also being that love for someone else? And do you know the sermon that that kid preached to me that day? Just by asking to pray. And when I sat with the three of them and we had one other counselor, one, two of us adults, and these three third graders, the power of Jesus was more than I can explain to you right now. Now, I want to tell you something. About maybe a month later, maybe a little longer, maybe 2 months later, I went to Manuel's church, St. Francis, and I looked up, and there was this little girl. She was running, smiling, laughing. She couldn't speak, Her name was Lily. The priest brought her up and put his arm around her at the offertory and said, "We give thanks for the healing that has happened in Lily's life." And I wept in the power of Christ. And you know what? I knew how much God loved that little child. But you know what else? I knew much how God loved that whole congregation and everybody had been praying for her and how everybody is loved so much by Christ if we just see it. The children of God will lead us to the beloved because they are beloved. So let me end. I think this is the third time I've ended, actually. And I just want to give you those words of scripture today that I shared with the kids. Because it's about our children who are up here, and it's about you and me. And here's what God says to us today, beloved. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. Be loved. And be love, for Christ will change the world.